Psalm number 11. So you keep reading ahead, and I think Psalm number 8 is challenging enough to bless any heart. This morning, I changed the routine because we're dedicating Sunday school workers and we're paying attention to leaders in our church. We appreciate those who served this past year very much, and we look forward to the great group that have been selected to carry on this coming year. But the scripture text, which has been suggested that I use this morning, is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and verse 6. And it has to do with stirring up the gift of God. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And of course the same text is found in 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that has been given thee. Stir up the gift of God. Let us see just a little bit that precedes this. In verse 2, Paul says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He calls him a beloved son. Timothy was a convert of the Apostle Paul. Hence, Paul speaks of him as a beloved son in the gospel. In verse 3, he tells Timothy, I have prayed for you. I thank God to whom I serve, for from my forefathers with a pure conscience without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. I have held you up to God both day and night. I just wondered as I read that what would happen if we began to hold up our Sunday school teachers day and night in prayer. And if we held our preacher day and night in prayer, just what would happen? Paul is calling to attention now something that's very important. I say this, no one can do very much without prayer. It's the most important thing. Every man of any worth at all. Quite often you hear Billy Graham say, will you pray for me? Knows the importance of prayer. In order to run the church, we need to have this. Paul magnifies prayer. So he says, I have remembrance of you in my prayers day and night. Verse 4. He says, Timothy, I remember your tears, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Probably the last time that Paul saw Timothy, Timothy left him in tears because of their mutual feeling. Or maybe Paul heard Timothy give an account of his conversion. He heard Paul give a testimony, Timothy give a testimony. And in that testimony, Timothy verily shed tears in the joy that he had with what he had rejoiced and found in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I remember thy tears. And it just filled me with joy. to know that you had such a feeling. If everybody who stood here at the altar today could let that pulsate through their testimony, that it would just literally, the joys of Christ would bring tears to their eyes when they talked about the Blessed Son. What a change. Verse 5, Paul says, I remember your family. I remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Paul says, I remember with a good deal of satisfaction your grandmother, whose name was Lois. She had the faith. She knew Christ. And I remember the joy that she had in her life. And I remember how she loved the church. And I remember your mama named Eunice. And Paul says, I'm just persuaded that what your grandmother had and what your mother had has come down to you. That's why grandmothers and mothers today need to have some of this. It's something you pass on. Paul says, I could see it in Timothy, that way back in his grandmother was such faith. And in that lovely mother that he had, she also shared the faith. Blessed hope. Verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul says, I want to exhort you, Timothy. I want to call special attention to. I want to inspire you, Timothy. Timothy was a young man. As a rule, people don't expect too much out of a young preacher or a young Christian leader. But Paul says, I want to call to your attention that the main qualification that you have is the Holy Spirit. And if you will stir up this gift that is within you, then you will study. You will not be an ordinary preacher. You will be in dead earnest, and with your facts and your faith and with the fire, you will be able to move mountains, Timothy. Stir up, he says, within you the gift of God. Now the first thing I notice here in this text is stir up. Some people are gifted in stirring up. I just don't know all the time. But what Timothy here is being admonished to do is to rekindle in his heart the fire. It's already burning, but Paul says, just cause it to burn a little brighter. I suppose every believer has some coals within him, but maybe those coals are not burning very brightly today. They're not flaming. Maybe they're like the church over in Laodicea, where John says, the Spirit says, you're not hot nor cold, you're just lukewarm. And for that reason, Christ is about to spew you out of his mouth. Because you're not a flame, you're not a fire, you're not burning. Browning says, be sure those people of God that he needs sleep not. One preacher put it this way. He said, I'm tired of dragging this buggy. It's about time for some of you to get out and push. And I think Paul was saying here, stir up, Timothy, rekindle the fire that's in your heart. And then he says, the gift of God. That's the next thing in this text. Now, I want you to notice here something I found. Paul didn't say, Timothy, stir yourself up. Now, I can get myself excited about a whole lot of things. And I can stir myself, but that's not what Paul is saying to Timothy. And Sunday school workers can get stirred up about a whole lot of things. But Paul is saying here, stir up. Not yourself, but he says the gift of God, and he repeats that in 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift. 1 Timothy 4:14. He was talking about his ministerial gifts. The thought is here, not that Timothy had been unfaithful. Paul was soon to die. The responsibility of his work was going to fall on the shoulder of Timothy. Now, Timothy, instead of shrinking from the task, I want you to make larger use of your gifts that God has given you, and every Christian ought to be growing daily so that you'll be able to take greater responsibilities day by day and year by year. When Elijah was caught up in the whirlwind to go to heaven, Elisha was going to take his place. And Elisha made one request. He said, will you let your mantle fall upon me? What I want is a double portion of your power. And when Elijah went up, the mantle floated down, fell upon the shoulders of Elisha, and he carried on God's work in a mysterious, marvelous way. When Dr. W.A. Criswell became pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, he was to follow a giant of a spiritual man by the name of George W. Truett. On the first Sunday he was there, he knelt down and offered one prayer. He said, oh God, would you let the spirit and the mantle of George Truett fall upon me? And I believe God answered that prayer. And if Christian workers would pray that God's mantle of the gift would fall upon them, they would become useful. Use the gift. Increase it. Exercise it. It'll become effective. The gift of God can be smothered. The scripture says you don't put a candle under a bushel, or what will happen to it? It will go out. A Christian does not put his talent under a bushel. What will happen to it? He'll lose it. By luxury or by ease, some people too lazy to shine, other people too busy to shine for Christ, and you neglect it and let the fire go out. I don't know what your situation is, but I'm just giving you what the Bible says here and what I think Paul is saying to us today. Now let me simply ask you the question. Why stir up the gift of God anyway? Why should you stir it up in your life? Why should I stir it up? First of all, I have an opportunity to testify for Jesus Christ. Verse 7, look at it. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I have an opportunity to witness and to testify. Every Christian has that. And God has not given us the spirit of fear. The early church moved because it testified. It went out and was willing to tell. And God has given that power to each Christian. That old story when Gabriel asked the Lord Jesus, and how do you expect to carry the work on earth? Jesus said, I've left it with Peter and with John and the disciples. I told them what to do. They are going to tell other people how to carry it on. And Gabriel said, but what if they do not do? Then Jesus said, I have no other plan. And what Peter and John and Timothy and Paul have passed on to their generation, we are obligated and responsible to our own obligation to the generation around us. This whole city, we are under obligation to it. It's our opportunity. And Paul said, stir up the gift of God. It's your opportunity to witness for him. The Bible says so. I once heard Charlie Matthews talk about the first person he ever got concerned about in his life after he became a preacher. He preached in Travis Avenue Baptist Church for many years. He wasn't the best trained preacher in the world. In fact, I don't think he ever attended a seminary or maybe a college, but he was a wonderful businessman, and God got a hold of him, just a salesman, and turned him into a preacher. And I heard him say the first person that he ever got interested in was his grandmother. She was the mother of his mother. He said she was not a Christian. My mother, he said, I have heard her pray for her by the hours. And he got that little church, Travis Avenue, and started preaching out there in a tent. He said, I got burdened for my grandmother. And I wrote her a letter. And I told her I was interested in her getting right with God. In a few days, he said, I got a letter back. And grandmother had taken him in as an orphan boy when his mother died. Of course, Charlie Matthews had a keen attachment to his grandmother. And when the letter came back, the letter said, Charlie, I realize I'm lost, and I'd like to invite you to come to our community and preach. Hold a revival. Why, he said that was the best news he ever heard. He said he got somebody to sing for him. And when the day came, they got on the train and they went out to that home in that community. When he said, I got there and arrived, there were 65 people in the yard. My grandmother said to me, Charlie, I'll not be able to attend the first revival service tonight. So I'm asking you to conduct the first service right here in my yard. 65 people had gathered out in the yard. Dr. Matthews said he got up, he read John 3, and began to talk a little bit about the new birth. But he said he couldn't get very far because he was so concerned for his grandmother. She was aged. So at last he said he walked over to her chair where she was seated in a big rocker under the oak. And he knelt down beside her and he said, Grandmother, do you believe what I've just read? She said, Yes, Charlie, I believe it. And I want you to baptize me next Sunday. Matthew said he went on and held a revival that week. 55 people were converted. He baptized his grandmother the following Sunday with that group. And then he said 6 months later, she died at 82. But I thought again, as I thought of this sermon, how imperative it is for men to stir up the gift of God that is within them. If he had not stirred it up within him, he'd have never won his grandmother to the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless we stir it up in our hearts, the boys and girls in this city will never be reached for Christ. Oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a pity that yearns. Oh, for a love that loves even to death. Oh, for a fire that burns. Let us pray. Lord, all around this community of ours, there are cold hearts without any flame, without any fire. We have a great host of workers in our church who serve in Sunday school, who serve on committees, who take different responsibilities. We know this is going to be a dark community unless we let our light shine. Help us to take seriously this responsibility which is ours. And, O Lord, set our souls on fire. May we stir up the gift of God. Amen. Number 361. If you're not a Christian, you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me invite you, dear man, woman, boy, girl, to come very quickly to this front pew and occupy it and tell God what is upon your heart. If you are here today and backslid and gone away from God somehow, some way, not willfully, but just neglecting, and you feel that you've grown cold and you need to stir the gift of God up and get the flame burning in your heart again, you come and take your place here on the pew. Tell God about it. You are here and your church letter is somewhere else and you'd like to make this your church home, I want to urge you to come. We'll be happy to write for your letter. Take your place. And if there is someone else here today with some other need upon your heart, then I want to urge you to come. I tell you, until we get concerned, there are not going to be many people saved. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Until we stir up the gift of God, not ourselves. I know how to create a lot of enthusiasm among people, and a lot of other people know how to manipulate and maneuver people, but that's not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about that kind of stampede. He's talking about something that moves because the Spirit of God moves. And if that Spirit moves, then you move today. We have coming this morning Regina K. Ross, 5097 Andover Road, Virginia Beach, who comes making a public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jean is a sweet little girl, and we've known her from way, way back. All who will joyfully welcome her upon this decision that she's made, she's about 10 years old, will please respond by saying aye. And if her dear mother's here, I would like to invite her to, and if her grandmother is here, you see, I talked about Paul talking about grandmothers and mothers. And I think here's a sterling example of what the mother's faith and the grandmother too. Well, she assured me that she didn't backslide, so... Will you get up here, Regina, by your mother? And I think this is a real example of what we've been preaching about today and teaching and instructing through Sunday school and through church and worship. And Joan, God bless you, and Regina, richly. And I want you to come by and shake hands with them. Many years ago in Scotland, they days before they had matches, they kept the fire going on the hearth almost